Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of AEW Weekly Wrap Up. I'm your host, Ethan Black. Today, we're going to talk about the AEW shows from this week and give you a top of Ring of Honor right quick and also a preview for Saturday's Rampage and next week's shows. So, we'll just get started with Dark Elevation from March 20th. So, the opening match, we had Sky Blue going with TFA, or fully known as Taryn from Accountant. So TFA attacks Sky Blue for the belt and hits a modified overdrive. Then some kicks from TFA. She tries to go for the razors, but Sky Blue counters a small patch for a two count. Blue fires with strikes, going to knee strike. Elbow from Blue then hits up top and hits a crossbody for a two count. TFA avoids a skyfall and then a new Argentine backbreaker into a facebuster for a two count. Blue hits a kick to the body and then Code Red, or Cole Blue in her case, for the win at 3 minutes and 2 seconds. Wasn't a bad opener. I got a 4 out of 10. Now our second match with Jake Hager going with Adam McKnight. Hager with some quicker. Matt returns to the poses. Adam McKnight tries to do one of his own, but Jake Hager fights him. Only hits a close on some stalling from Hager. He punches him in the corner and body blows. Close on from Hager and then the Hager bomb for the win at 2 minutes and 3 seconds. I give this 2 out of 10, too short. Then match number 3, we got Emmy Sucker going with So Zager. So match starts with a lockup. Then Sakura almost a chop to the ropes. Then So Sager and then Emmy avoids another lockup, leading to So far some punches and a draw kick. Sager pauses Dodger by the hair, scoops him by Emmy, then a back rake. More shots by Sakura. She gets better of So. But So keeps trying to fight back. Elbows and Emmy slaps her in a double hook backward for a two count. So fights up a spinning backward and lets into Gary, then a pump kick in the corner for a running knee. So hits up Todd as a draw kick for a two count. Emmy carries a suplex over his dervish. Corner crossbody from Emmy, then a Romero special. And then she does it a few times before getting her in a dragon sleeper. And then another Romero special for the submission win at 4 minutes and 3 seconds. I give this 4 out of 10. In our next match, we got Brandon Cutler going with Jason G here. So Cutler grabs the side hillock that short block, but Jason lands a back elbow to cut off Brandon. And he takes over strikes and suplex. Leg scissors turn into a straight angle from Gear, but Cutler gets it rough quickly. Some quarter offense from Jason, but Brandon hits an elbow, then they start training strikes, but Cutler dodges one, hits a palm strike. We get some dancing elbow drops from Cutler, but Jason carries one to an armbar, then switch back to a weird naked choke, but Cutler slams, gets himself out of the corner. Cutler hoists Jason into his shoulders and airplane spin from him. They both end up dizzy, so Jr. jumps on the back of Cutler for another weird naked choke, but Brandon starts spinning again, then falls on top for a two count, then Jason grabs a choke again, but Cutler does the Bret Hart Stone Cold spot from 1996. He flips over and gets him for the win at 3 minutes and 37 seconds. This was kind of like a comedy match. I give 5 out of 10. It was alright. So before the next match, we get Paige coming down to the ring. He cuts him off since they're coming down. Paige comes to content being booed as he's Canadian. First wants to be a Canadian host. He adds the mic to Matt Hardy, who's happy to be back in wonderful Winnipeg. Before Mike Patton, Paige's girlfriend not be Canadian enough, he's kind of a jerk. Then North Cassie finishes an introduction. Paige actually wants to, oh yeah, A, instead of the usual casual Cassidy bit, so the crowd plays along, we get the music back. So we get that trios match. Now we get Ethan Page, Matt Hardy, and Isaiah Cassidy go against Sebastian Wolf, Massive Damage, and Mo Jabari. So Isaiah and Mo start the match off to trade some chain wrestling sequence, and they run the ropes with Cassidy and Andrade and some neckbreaker. Matt Hardy takes and hits a double elbows. Jabari, with a few strikes, takes Sebastian Wolf, who hip tosses and makes some arm raiders before Hardy starts bouncing around the corner. The turnbuckles. Ethan Page takes in and him and Hardy both hit second rope elbow drops. Page takes in Isaiah Gazzi, who jumps in the arm Wolf. Ten punches in the corner from Isaiah, but Damage just drags him over Wolf to trip him off the ropes. Jabari takes it out and has his butt take Page in, who hits a Kuna power slam with Jabari. Everything breaks in, we get triple side effects, poetry motion, and then the Eagle's Edge for the victory at 4 minutes and 5 seconds. This was a fun little match. I give it 5 out of 10. Then after the match, we got Stokely Hathaway. He was at ringside. He walks in, addresses on Jabbar, sending a message to Hook for the match on Dynamite. And then Cassie and Hart help Stokely if everyone starts standing to celebrate. Then we go to our tag team match. We got Top Flight, that is Dante and Darius Martin, go with Sean Moore and Michael Richard Allen Clark, or make it short, Mark. So Darius Martin, Sean Moore starts us off. They trade Andres and Darius grabs a carpet. That's a hello from Darius and Moore kicks him to stop the antics. Then Darius hits a Manhattan drop followed by neckbreaker. Dante Martin tags unloads in the corner. Then Darius takes back and hits a suplex. Dante comes back with a heel out taken in, double draw kick to Michael Rich, Alan Clark, and Darius takes back in. Clark trips over running Darius, and Moore hits a draw kick to stop the momentum. Clark takes and hits the powers and some push-ups on Darius, but Darius just kicks him in the face and hits a punches for Moore takes back in. They keep Darius isolated. Darius fights out of the corner and takes in Dante. Dante runs a wall for a bit, hits a crossbody, but Clark breaks up the pin. Darius with a scissor DDT, Clark and Dante dive onto him, and then Darius spikes Moore with a lifting DDT, and then Dante hits the mop by splash for the win at 4 minutes and 15 seconds. I give this 5 out of 10, just gives top flight some momentum hitting their tag team tall match on Dynamite. Then we get our improvement grand match with the Ring of Honor Women's Champion Athena going with Taylor Rising. So, with the this is a Ring of Honor specialty. So Taylor Rising has to win or survive the 10-minute time limit to get a shot at the women's title. So Athena starts the match with an elbow. She just floors Taylor Rising. Then Athena kicks her to the floor and then falls after slamming her into the barricades. Taylor counters and sends Athena to the ring steps, but tries to fall at Athena hits an elbow on the floor. That was a nasty bump. Back in the ring, Taylor tries to fight back with a back elbow in the dominant hurt grab. She hits a pedigree for only a 2 count. She goes up top rope and gets a flying nothing. Athena takes advantage with a shotgun dropkick, meteor, and it locks in the crossface for the submission win at 3 minutes and 21 seconds. Fun, short little match. I get this one 6 out of 10. And since Taylor Rising lost, she doesn't get a Ring of Honor women's title match. Then after the match, Athena with a gore bust over the ropes and Rising out of the ring. Then face plants Rising into the Ring of Honor women's title to close that segment. So she did on Ring of Honor TV Live. She did challenge to Yuka Sakazaki for a supercard on as on March 31st. We don't know if it's official. We're just waiting on Yuka to accept. But hopefully, I hope we do get that match. That would be excellent. Then we go to our tag team with Naturally Limitless. That's Dustin Rhodes and Keith Lee. Go against Levi Knight and Jesse B. So Dustin and Levi start off first. Dustin runs away and hits an arm drag and tags in Keith Lee. Naturally Limitless with some corner work and Lee with a back body drop. Jesse takes and runs into Lee but can knock him more, so Lee hits a short block to not take him down. Keith with wrenches on the arm for a bit, then Jesse fights back. That just annoys Lee, who just hits a hip butt. Jesse with a standing belly by suplex takes over the Knight, who hits one of his own. Dustin takes then hits some strikes and a snap powers from there. Lee lifts Dustin Rhodes up, toss him into Jesse and Levi Knight. Spine buster from Lee to Jesse, then Rhodes hits the Reckoning for the win at 2 minutes and 41 seconds. I give this 5 out of 10. I actually like this team of Keith Lee and Dustin Rhodes. This is our second or third tag team or match as a team, but I thought they work together. There are maybe we got another tag team match. This time it is Dark Order, Alex Jones, John Silver, go against Tony Nese and Ari Daivari. So they attack, Nese and Daivari attack Dark Order for the bell. We get some ringside brawling. Silver winds up isolating the ring. He swings chops at Nese, but Mark Sterling strikes the referee low. Nese and Daivari to stomp on Silver on the floor. We get back in the ring. Daivari takes and lands some stomps. Then takes Nese back in. Silver tries to fight out of the corner, but Nese whites on a spinning kick after rolling for a sunset flip. Silver tries to fire over strikes and runs series of kicks, but he flips out a German suplex, double stomp to Nese, and both men are down. Both men take on Alex Jones runs 12 for a bit, sending both Daivari and Nese out of the ring, hit a tope suicide on both of them. Back in the ring, Daivari runs into a pop-up knee and a tiger driver from Reynolds, who goes for the curb when Nese broke up the fall. Johnson returns to Nese fight for a bit. Both first times, Daivari hits a reverse DT on Reynolds. Nese takes him, but Silver breaks up their tandem move. So we get kicks all over the ring for Daivari, hits an uppercut. Assisted uppercut to our deadliest Nese to get hit with the ping pong sequence. That's basically their like stunner, German suplex, jackknife combo for the win at 4 minutes and 55 seconds. Not a bad maven. I give it 6 out of 10. Overall, not a bad episode of Dark Elevation. I mean, 9 matches. It's a quick watch. But to pick matches from this show, I'd say the Ferns match, the top flight versus Mark and Sean Moore, the Permanent Ground match, and I say the Maven, or the ones I say check out. But that was Dark Elevation. Now we go to Dark. For the second week in a row, we had 5 matches. I'm not complaining. So 5 matches again for the second week in a row. So we kick it off with Juice Robinson going with Leon Ruffin. So Ruffin locks a side hillock on Juice Robinson, but Juice escapes before Ruffin locks in a short tackle. Or looks for a short tackle, sorry, but Juice blocks it and sends Leon crashing the top rope. Throws him to the outside and throws him into the barricade, then he flexes his biceps. So he throws him again to the barricade for a second time, got first and sends him climbing with a ring post. He gets him back in the ring, goes for a cover for a two count. Then Juice gets in the face of the referee. Leon manages to hit a hanging neck breaker, falls to a lariat cutter off the middle rope. Tries to go for a pin on Juice, but Juice whirls to the outside to avoid, which is smart. So Juice falls him out there and licks get back in the ring, but Juice pushes Ruffins off him. So Ruffin hits a baseball draw, keep him on the rope, then hits a tope suicida. He gets Juice back in the ring. He hits a cannonball. Figgle for a splash off the top rope, but Juice got his knees up. He hits a cannonball at some point. Leon insecuring a roundhouse kick. Juice fires back with a German, release German suplex and then left-handed god. Goes for a cover for a two count at the very last second. So Juice plays him to the mat with the Juice is loose for the win at 8 minutes and 5 seconds. This was a great opener to kick off this week's dark. I give this 7 out of 10. And then we got our second match. We got the battle. Well, we got Layla Gray versus Kiera Hogan, former baddie member versus current baddie member. Well, the baddie, honestly, it's just her and Jade Cargill. The match starts with a lockup, then Kiera slaps Gray, hits him several bars at a dropkick. She falls with a sliding boot before Gray sends her to the crash in the middle rope face first. Hogan hits a super kick, and Gray rolls to the outside. She tries to go for a big boot to the side of Kiera's head, then raises right hand to Larry. Falls up with a suplex and plants Hogan face first. Hogan delivers a series of elbows, then a double sledgehammer. Gray comes out with a rising knee strike, running ball, goes for a running kick, but Gray rolls up for, and hang on to the tights for the win at 5 minutes and 35 seconds. This wasn't too bad. I give it 5 out of 10. In our third match of the evening, we have tag team match with Iron Savages, Boulder, and Bronson, who are formerly known as Bear Country, but they changed their name a couple months ago. Go against the Wingman's Ryan Nimitz and Cesar Benoit. So Boulder and Caesar starts this match with a lockup, and then Benoit hits a body slam, but Boulder returns to favor. So Ryan Nemeth takes it and gets one of his own before Bronson plants him with a backbreaker. Fires him with a few right hands and hits a delayed underhook gut buster. So Benoit takes back and hits a knee to the midsection of Bronson. Hits a delayed Fergal suplex and a running kick. Nemeth takes back and raises him with right hands. Then breaks Bronson's eyes. Bronson sends in a move, goes flying. Then takes Boulder back in. Boulder hits a back body drop to Ryan Nemeth, then gets him on his shoulders. Caesar Benoit does charge up, but Boulder catches him. Hits the fallaway slam solo jump combo. Bronson takes and Nemeth hits him with a DDT. Goes for the cover, but Boulder broke it up. Then he lays out Nemeth with a power slam. He gets Bronson in the electric chair position, and he has a hit assist a splash for the win at 7 minutes and 5 seconds. This wasn't a bad tag match. I give this one 6 out of 10. Then on more tag match, we get the Renegade. I thought they were twins, honestly, but turns out they're not twins. They are sisters, but they're not identical twins, so that was good to know. So the Renegades, that is Robin and Charlotte, go against Avery Bruger and Mafiosa. I do apologize if I didn't pronounce that name right. I apologize. So Charlotte Renegade says on Avery Bruger, but Avery hits a boot and knocks Robin off the apron. Charlotte delivers a right-hand cross Avery's spine as Robin pulls Mephisto off the Mafosa off the apron. Robin's in tags in for a Charlotte takes bite in the Renegade. The Renegade takes a double elbow drop. Charlotte whips Avery into the corner, takes back in Robin. Mafosa takes back and hits a kick. Then a snapper in his foot like wave drop. Robin hits a super kick, takes back in Charlotte. So the Renegade hit a spinebuster, bulldog spinebuster combination to score the victory at 3 minutes and 12 seconds. This wasn't bad. I gave it 5 out of 10 as well. Then our main event, the fifth and final match of the show. Tony Storm goes well with Billy Starks, so Storm wastes no time. She delivers several stomps, then tosses Starks across the ring, hits the sweet cheeks or the hip attack. That sends Starks crashing to the outside. Excuse me. She hits an elbow on the right hand and whips her into the ring post face first. Storm tosses Starks back and hits a chop and a kick. Starks hits the series of right hands, but Storm delivers a knee. Starks hits a back heel kick, then several kicks across Storm's chest, but Storm hits a German suplex. Starks extends to the tower, hits a senton automato, goes for a cover, but Storm kicks out and hits a hair whip. Then she mockingly kicks Starks and then slaps her, but Starks responds with Death Valley Driver. She goes to the tower, but Storm pulls down, hits Sweet Cheeks Music, half and half suplex, and then the Storm Zero for the win at 6 minutes and 13 seconds. Not a bad maven, I give it 6 out of 10. Overall, I'm a quick watch, 5 matches, so can't complain. The only matches I recommend Juice versus Leah Rolfin and the main event. That's probably the only two I say where I recommend checking out. Wasn't overall, but if I had to choose two, that'd be the two I check out. easily Juice Robinson and Leah Ruffin was match of the night. And now we will go to Dynamite for March 22nd. So we kick it off with an A-1 segue to Young Bucks. As Hayman Page, Kenny Omega, Dawn Callis, Brian Cutler watching on. It was said the Young Bucks were attacked earlier as Page and Cutler left to go to the hospital. Then we go to our opening contest of the evening of the show. We have International Champ Orange Cassidy, Darby Allin, Sting teams up to go against Kip Sabian, the Butcher, and the Blade. So Cassidy and Sabian starts this matchup with Sabian sends Cassidy out of the ring right away, but Cassidy does right back to him. Butcher takes it to Sting, and he no-sells the clubs from the Butcher for attacking him in the corner. Hits the Stinger Splash, tries to go for the Scorpion Deathlock, but everybody else runs in the ring. Butcher and Blade hit a double suplex on Sting, followed by a splash attempt from Sabian as Sting rolls away. Sabian tries to do another core, but Sting pulling Orange Cassidy and rolling away again, so he tags in Darby Allin, who gets a two count on the Sabian after hitting the Code Red. Penelope Ford gets unable to distract the referee as Sabian, the Butcher, and the Blade take advantage as we go to pitcher and pitcher. We come back from the pitcher and pitcher break. Darby Allin takes it to Orange Cassidy, who has a crossbody off the top to Sabian. While Sabian is celebrating, he turns around and Sting is there, who attacks Sabian, the Blade, and the Butcher before locking Sabian in the Scorpion Deathlock. But the Butcher and Blade start punching away Sting and officially broke up the submission. Allin hits them with a double coffin drop off the ropes, but Sabian takes him out. So Sabian and Orange Cassidy go at it, but Orange dies on the Blade on the outside. Darby takes out Sabian with a stunner before diving onto the Butcher, and Sting hits the Scorpion Death Drop for the victory at 11 minutes and 19 seconds. This wasn't a bad opener. I give this one 6 out of 10. Then after the match, we see Cassidy put sunglasses on Sting as Darby Allin staring in the corner, staring at the Double or Nothing banner. Then we get footage of last week's free bar mitzvah, and then comments from the AEW World Champ MJF, Darby Allin, Jungle Boy, and Sammy Guevara, all talking winning the AEW World title. Then we get a field package of the history leading to the dream match between Kenny Omega and El Hijo de Fakinico. So basically, the backstory, they were supposed to meet back in AAA back in 2021, but Omega had injury, so he had to vacate the AAA Mega title. So that's the story there. Then we get Excalibur saying, come to Brian Cutler, Texan, Houston, Blackpool, Combo Club, tucking the Young Bucks. Excuse me. Then we got our second match. Then we have the Guns, Austin Cole, defend the world tag team tossing his top flights, Dante and Darius Martin. So Austin Gunn and Dante Martin start the match off. After beating Austin Gunn takes out to his brother Cole, Darius Martin tags his top flights, takes in control and closes the Guns to the outside. As Austin was distracting the referee Aubrey Edwards, Cole snaps Dante's neck on the ropes. We go to a commercial break. We come back for break. Darius is in control as he attacks the Guns as he hits Austin with German suplex, then hits Cole with the standing Spanish fly for a two count. Dante hits Austin with the nose dodge, but Cole broke up at the last second. Here comes the Kingdom, that is Matt Taven and Mike Bennett. He runs start attack Darius on the outside, which distracts Dante, who actually he runs into the 310 to Yuma. It's a flapjack flatliner combination. I actually like their finisher for the win. And they retain the world tag team titles at 7 minutes. It was okay. It wasn't too bad of a match. I give it this one 5 out of 10. Just me nitpicking. I kind of wish they had maybe a couple more. I would add two or three more minutes to this, but wasn't bad. But kind of figured the Guns were retaining. So after the match, Top Flight chases the Kingdom away. They've been feuding on Ring of Honor TV over the last couple weeks. Then here comes FTR to confront the Guns. FTR said they want Guns business. They didn't want to fight, but the Guns says nobody wants to hear them talk as they are losers. And who lost them lost 3 sets of belts, which is true. They lost the IWGP tag titles to Bijan back at Wrestle Kingdom. They lost the Ring of Honor tag team titles to the Briscoes back at Final Battle in December. And then they lost the AAA tag titles at their December Triple Mania show to Tedesco and Dragon Lee, who is in NXT right now. And nothing will convince them. So Cash Wheeler said, what about they lose? They could have a challenge for them, which the Guns said no to. Well, Austin said no. Then Wheeler offers to break up if they lose. Austin yells, there's nothing we can offer them. So Dax Harwood takes the microphone and says, if they can't beat them with the titles, they will quit AEW. So Austin immediately agrees to it. As they go to shake FTR's hand, they spit at them to close that segment. So I don't think this will be double or nothing. That would be way too long. I say this is probably going to be a TV match, honestly. I don't see it being at double or nothing. It'd be kind of too big for Battle of the Belts. And then we go backstage. We see Renee Paquette as TBS champ Jay Cargo's reaction for Taya Valkyrie's debut last week. Smart Mark started shows a season in this case to Taya to normally use to Jay as her finisher. I know this is the story, but technically Ty's been using that Fisher a lot more than Jade is, but no, that's just nitpicking. They look great offers to deliver the contract personally to Ty this Saturday as a match before me. All I've posted Stokely Hathaway's no DQ match. And but they kept saying Fry, a lot of them did say Fry during the show. As Skyward did say once, but he's been pretty good with. I get they're used to doing it on Fridays, but this week they're doing it on Saturday due to the, I think, NBA or something like that. NBA or NCAA tournaments. Some basketball stuff's going on. That's why they got pushed back to Saturday. So before the next match, Stokely Hathaway gets on the mic and he says he's medical clear to compete. Then he announces his retirement today and thanks all 12 of his fans. As he handshakes Roger's doctor's note and notices he's sick as Roberts tries to get a receipt for a Wingstop. So Bryce Resnick starts the match. So we get to that match now. Is Hook, the FTW champion, go against Stokely Hathaway. This is a non-title no DQ match. So Hathaway runs into the crowd while Hook's running after him. Hook suplexes Stokely on the outside before sends back in the ring. Hook grabs a guardrail from under the ring, sits in the corner as the firm is watching back in the back, saying they didn't trade for this. The hardcore stuff, which I did get a laugh out. I did laugh at that. Hook goes after Stokely, but he sprays him with a fire extinguisher and then tries to battle with a chair, but Hook takes it from him and then uses it before Subart into the guardrail. Goes for the car, but he stops at 2.5 and then locks in the red rum for the submission win at 3 minutes and 16 seconds. This was okay. Didn't hurt anybody. I give this one like 4 out of 10. And then we see backstage, Matt Hardy tells Ethan Page he could be the one to beat Hook as Page tells Hardy to get the contract ready. Then we see rapper Tech N9ne sitting in the crowd. I haven't seen him in a long time. And then we get Adam Cole. He comes in the ring and he tells us we're 7 days away from him returning to the ring. Cole mentions all the questions, including his opponent will be on March 29th, but before he could say anything else, he was interrupted by JS's Daniel Garcia. He asks who's ready for storytelling with Daniel Garcia, then goes to update Cole on a few things, and the crowd tells him to shut up. Garcia says that Cole's up becoming a locker room leader and not welcome back, but put him in his place as well. He's done well with Cole was on place to do video games. He tells he beat Trio Champ Bro King, Ricky Starks, and Brian Danielson. It made it a more AW program more than anybody on the AW roster in the last year, which is true. Garcia continues and stops short from calling himself one of the... He almost said professional wrestlers, but he stopped himself as a sports entertainer. Then asks Cole what makes him so special. So Cole says when they ring the bell, that makes him special. Since he likes Garcia and someday he could be the guy that leads the charge in AEW, but his problem is the company that he keeps in the Jericho franchise giving him his false sense of security. And even without wrestling in 9 months, he's still Adam Cole. Cole said the whole time he was at home, hoping for a second chance. It looks like he found the second chance, and Garcia's crazy enough to challenge him, he's on. This is not only his return match, but it's standing to one of the best pro wrestlers in the world is back. Cole says it would be a great night for the AEW fans, but not for Garcia. The close that same, so that's, we got the official for Wednesday. In the backstage, I was trying to get word with Don Callis and Kenny Omega, as Omega says he's worried about the Young Bucks. Callis says he's in Michael Nakazawa with them, and he's going to be the ambulance, but best to handle Omega. Now he can focus on his singer's career in the match with El Hijo de Vikingo. Then we go to our fourth match of the show. We have John Moxley representing Blackpool Combat Club go against Dark Order Stu Grayson. So Stu goes after Moxley in the corner, but Moxley turns around as they start training chops. In the corner, they go back and forth with shoulder blocks before Moxley escapes to the floor. But Grayson quickly sends him back inside and hits them with Hurricanrana. They find the apron. Mox sends Stu flying to the barricade. We go to pitcher in pitcher. Excuse me. We come back from pitcher in pitcher. Moxley is in control before Stu takes control and hits to the top rope, but gets trapped by Weirdo and Claudio Castagnoli. But as they're arguing with the Dark Order, excuse me, Stu takes him over the top rope moonsault. Stu stays in control and hits a 450 splash on Moxley for a two count. Tries to go for the knife ball, but Moxley versus a bulldog choke. After treating into a choke, Stu powers out and sends Moxley crashing into the corner with a cannonball to break it up. Stu dodges the paradigm shift and hits a backflip kick before he goes to the top rope. Moxley meets him up there, rakes the back of Grayson, hits a headbutt, and then a avalanche death rider for the win at 10 minutes and 5 seconds. I give this one 6 out of 10. This was a fun little match between these two guys. As this feud between Blackpool Combat and Dark Order are not over yet. So we go backstage. Renee Paquette is for Ricky Starks, and she asks where he stands with Juice Robinson. Ricky says he's sick and tired of this talk and challenges Juice to starting a rampage. He did say Friday because he's so sick of this and calls it the crazy thing he's better to host life than tell Juice to be a man or not. He doesn't give a damn anymore. Then we go to our second episode of QTV. as Harley Cameron talks about the hot new prospect of Ray Phoenix, and it shows footage of the TNT title match from last week's Rampage. As QT Marshall helped Pentagon Jordan come out to help his brother, then makes fun of Alex Halvernades, and so make of a world getting robbed as Aaron Solo talks about how he hacked in Dave Meltzer's Twitter and starts posting about hotels. So they mentioned TNT Champion Hobbs having another open challenge. QT did say Friday, but it's on Saturday. As he announced, he will face Pentagon Jr. Then we go to our fifth match. We have Tony Storm versus Sky Blue. Outsiders versus the OGs. So Blue starts the match injured by taking Storm to the outside with a dropkick that falls with a hurricanrana on the outside. Sky goes to the top of a Storm, knocks her right down, knocks her off the apron with a Sweet Chicks music, where Saran and Ruby Soho start attacking Blue. Storm places Blue on the ring post, starts chopping her. But Blue moves out of the way, Soho gets a shot instead to go to pitcher and pitcher. We come back from break. Blue takes control by hitting Storm with a roundhouse kick, then a double cross body. Blue hits a rising knee strike and an integrated for a 2-count Storm. Storm starts to call Blue with 10 minutes and her DT for a 2-count. Blue blocks a hip attack, then hits the cope. Blue Bolt Soho distracts the referee on the apron. They go back and forth before Storm hits a shotgun drop, Sweet Cheeks music, German suplex, and then the Storm 0 for the win at 8 minutes and 15 seconds. I give this one 5 out of 10. This was okay. And after the match, the Outcast continue to attack Blue. After, and they were trying to spray paint her, but here comes Riho and Will 9 going to make the save. Then we go backstage. Stu Grayson is getting medical attention. Then we see Moxley said this is business and then chokes him out as Willie and Cutter Richards there. So we go to our main event now. We have Kenny Omega versus El Hijo de Vikingo. This is the dream match. So Vikingo attacks Omega for the bell rings with two dogs to the outside as Paul Turris stops him to get inside the ring to start officially start the match. Once that happens, Vikingo hits a pose of Hercrow into the corner. Plus a curse group kick and a knee strike sends Omega to the outside. Vikingo falls with a shooting star press on the floor. Then back inside the ring, he hits a 450 splash for a 2-count. Omega comes back with a toe to walk backward for his own 2-count. Then he go back out to the outside where Omega whips Vikingo into the barricade before grabbing a table from under the ring. As we go to pitcher and pitcher, the fans and independents reserve one at tables. So we come back from pitcher and pitcher. Both men are training chops before Omega hits Vikingo with a monkey flip. They go back in the apron with Vikingo, reverse snap, dragon suplex, hit the dragon hurt, dragon Rana to Omega from the apron to the floor. That was a nasty bump. They hit to the top rope with Vikingo, counters an awesome bump with a hurricanrana, followed by a Phoenix Splash from outside the ropes to the inside of the ring for a 2-count. Omega carries a springboard move for Vikingo and hits him with two power bombs and a feed trigger for a 2-count. Omega fires with a snap, dragon suplex, then another feed trigger, tries to go for the one win angel, but Vikingo gets himself out of it, hits a diving poser rana, sends Omega laying on the table. Then he follows it with a springboard 630 splash for the table. Then they get back in the ring. Vikingo gets a 2-count. They go back for it as Vikingo hits a powerbomb for a close 2-count. Vikingo goes to the top, misses 630 senton. Omega nails him with the feed trigger, one wing angel to put him away for the win at 16 minutes and 53 seconds. This was an excellent match. I give this one 11 out of 10. This is I said only match I recommend check it out. So after the match, Tony finally hits the ring, try to go over Omega, who starts he doesn't know how much of this he can do anymore for he gets attacked behind by the Pablo Combat Club. Then we see an ambulance drum the ring as Heyman Page steps with a weapon before heading to the ring and scares up the Black Bull Combat Club. Don Callis goes to grab Page, but who almost hits him with the barbed wire nail thing majigger before realizing who lets go. So Callis pulls an acre and falls down to the floor as being attacked as Omega starts to yell on the Page. Then he attacks Callis. So Callis starts to no hurt me, rolls out, and his Page looks disappointed to close out this week's episode of Dynamite. This was okay episode of Dynamite. This is really a one-match show. The only one. If I had to go in order, if I had to pick three, I'd say Omega, Vikingo. The trios match was okay. Mox and Grayson was good, but I say just check out Omega Vikingo. That's probably the only match I recommend checking out. And then I'll run down the cards for this week, and then I'll talk about the Ring of Honor stuff real quick. So we have Saturday's Rampage. It is on Saturday this week, not tonight, on Friday. So Powerhouse Defensive Team Tugus Pentagon Jr., one third of the Trios Champ Brody King versus Jake Hager, Taya Valkyrie goes on with Layla Gray, and the acclaimed Anthony Bolts Matt Caster go against The Kingdom, Matt Taven, and Mike Bennett. Monday's Dark Elevation with Tony Nese and Ari Daivari go against Lane Summers and Campbell Myers. Nyla Rose and Maria Shafir are the Beast of Burns. Go against the Hale slash Sage and Brian. Will Nightingale is an action against Maggie Wee. The Firm's Big Bill and Lee Moriarty go Sack Lane and Cyclone Anaya. In another Proven Ground match, we have Ring of Honor, Women's Champ Athena versus Tootie Lane. We got the Firm's Ethan Page, Matt Hardy, Isaiah Cassidy go get Spanish announced project. That is Luther Serpentico and Helgo in a trios match. Riho goes one with Diamante. And then next week's time, as of right now, Adam Cole for Taylor Gershwin, they'll announce more matches on Rampage. So that's the AEW weekly wrap-up stuff. I'm just going to double Ring of Honor super quick. So we had 10 matches. So we had Mark Briscoe defeating Tony Nese at 8 minutes and 55 seconds. Air Fox played Christian Metalik defeating the Trustbusters. R. DeVire, GSK, Slim J, 7 minutes and 18 seconds. Sky Blue defeating Lady Frost, 8 minutes and 55 seconds. And some tag team matches with Left Faction and Ganadway, so that's Jurassico and Roosh. They defeat the Foundation, that's Red Tice and Tracy Williams, 5 minutes and 38 seconds. Matt Taven defeating Darius Martin, 7 minutes and 35 seconds. One third of the Ring of Honor 6-man tag teams, Brian Cage defeating Tony Depton, 4 minutes and 28 seconds. In the battle of the former television champions, Shane Taylor goes along with Saz Young. Shane Taylor defeats Saz Young, 6 minutes and 46 seconds. Billy Starks defeat Miranda Ali, 6 minutes and 57 seconds. More tag team match with Ozzy Open and Call of Legend Mark Davis, defeating Christopher Daniels and Matt Sydal, 14 minutes and 11 seconds. In the main event for the TV title, Samoa Joe retains his cheeseburger in a minute and 2 seconds. Nothing was announced for next week. All round on Supercard, that is next Friday, March 31st. So we have to reach for the Sky Ladder match for the vacant Ring of Honor World Tag Title. So the 5 teams are the Lucha Brothers, that's Penta Kodjo, Ray Phoenix, Top Flight's Dante and Darius Martin, Matt Taven, Mike Bennett of the Kingdom, Aussie Open, and Left Faction and Canaves. We have Soldier defending the TV title against Mark Briscoe. El Hijo de Fikingo will defend his Triple A Mega Titles Commander. Claudio Castro will defend the Ring of Honor World Title against Eddie Kingston. That is confirmed, but the rumor ones pretty much is that they defend the Ring of Honor World Title against Yuka Sakazaki. Where you defend the Pure Title against Kashiro Shibata. And the Embassy defend the 6-man tag titles against Air Fox, Blake Christian, and Metalik. Those three, we don't know if they're official yet, but we haven't, but. So that was this AEW Weekly Wrap-Up, Ring of Honor stuff. I'm your host, Ethan Black. We'll see you next week. Stay safe, guys.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show. Or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to Patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.